day. We moved, and I've been spending this weekend cleaning out, what are they called? Thistles and trees, and went out Saturday and rented a wood chipper, and, you know, throwing those things down there, spitting wood out, and I can't tell you the number of little dings I got on my fingers. They hurt more than appendicitis, these little things on your fingers, from, you know, where the thistle gets stuck in there, thorns, all that. So Jesus was getting zapped on Good Friday, I got zapped on Good Saturday? Is there a Good Saturday? Would that be the term I would use? I got some thorns still bothering me here today. Keep me a little bit more in line here with the resurrection. Appreciate y'all joining us here. We made it clear into April already, April 2nd. We got an inch of snow here in Ohio to welcome us. I had the most unbelievable day yesterday, Easter Sunday. We'll talk about that here in a second. But I was laying in bed last night, Sean and I crashed pretty early last night. I did a little work this weekend. I'm not used to it, I guess. Got worn out pretty good. And I was just, you know, I don't know if I've ever had a better, it'd be hard to have a better day than I had yesterday. Michelle and I both said the same thing. And there's nothing like family, nothing like being around family, especially when you're all getting along. Nothing like having friends over, friends, family, and food, fellowship. Really is the simple things in life, you know, we get burdened down by all the crazy things that don't happen to all of us. I use gloves on my hands, Don. I used gloves and everything, used everything. And I was just reminiscing yesterday of, it's all about family. And those of you who are maybe parts of, families that are out of fellowship, that's really the heart of it all. Part of it all. So I thank God for the wonderful Sunday that we had. I got several things I want to talk about here this morning. I just want you to know that I'm a blessed man and, really, really enjoyed it yesterday. Do I want to go back or do I want to go forward? That's kind of what I'm thinking of here today. Hey, listen, Occupy Till I Come. Got about 3 weeks left now. We really want to put the pedal to the metal. It's going to be held October 20th through the 22nd in Akron, Ohio, Akron, Canton. We're bringing in some amazing guys. Jared, I threw you. Oh, you got it. Jared's always on top of it. Throw in that. Didn't want to throw Jared a curveball, although he could probably hit one. And, you know, I was doing some research this morning, or this weekend as well, in some of my spare time. And I came across a video that I really kind of agree with, and that the video said this, man, you got a head knowledge and all the stuff that we learn, all the stuff that we learn in church that is true and all the stuff we learn in church that isn't true and all that stuff that's going on. Ultimately, you have to really, really zero in on what it is that you're able to do something about, that you're able to control. And that's one of the things we're trying to do with this Occupy conference. And Jared, I don't know if it disappeared off my sheet screen. Maybe you can get it there, buddy. Jared, scroll down. I want everybody to see who we're having. We chose Occupy for a reason. And I guess if there's a theme that if this show would have a theme, that would be one of them, that we're supposed to occupy. We're supposed to hold ground for the Lord. Occupy till he comes. And what we have is up on your screen, you can see right now. Let me just take a minute and run through this. This is kind of a who's who of Doug Hagman and Joe Hagman. You guys know them. Hagman, we're really lucky to have those guys come because they have a huge audience and very few people get to see them. And they've become pretty good buddies of mine. And John Robertson, who's right underneath them there. That's all three part of the Hagman group. They're going to be up there on Saturday. And you get to shake their hand, look them in the eye. Not that we're about hero worship, but they're good guys and you need to meet them. And Bill Fetter, you guys know about Bill Fetter and he's a great historian. We're trying to do something where we're trying to equip and motivate and what's the word I'm looking for? Get people involved. Bill Federer talk about our great Christian history and what's happened to us and how we got in this mess. L.A. Marzulli, whether you like him or not, whether you think he's crazy or not, is going to talk about that. Were the Nephilim real and are they impacting us today? Now listen, if the Nephilim are real, and the Giants are coming back, there really isn't a whole lot I can do about it, okay? So I don't want anybody to come just to hear about the Giants coming back if there's nothing we can do about it. But we're not ignorant of Satan's devices and understand what's going on and how this thing may play out at the end. And Russ Dizdar, who lives literally 5 minutes from the event there in Akron, Canton, Russ is going to talk about stuff he always talks about, mind control and how the enemy is doing everything he can to change the way we think. And so Russ will be really good. Pastor Paul Begley is Pastor Paul Begley, and he's coming. He's going to do the Sunday morning service for us, I think. Dr. Mike Spaulding coming over from Lyme. These are good. These guys are activators, all right? They're activators. They're not just theoreticians. Get on out and do something about it. Mark Trump's coming in. He's going to talk to us about artificial intelligence. And John, I forgot to tell you, John Robinson's going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Hollywood and how they're really messing with us there. So again, I'm going to wade into this here in a minute. The things that we're taking that are the traditions of men and how they're impacting us. What's going on in Hollywood? Mark's going to talk, again, to shave and clean up here a little bit, but Mark's going to talk about artificial intelligence and what's going on with the internet. And there's me with that ugly look on my face. And David Arthur is, David Arthur still scares people because, hey, listen, we don't think our sin's very bad. I was a bad sinner, but I wasn't like Arthur. I was a bad sinner, but I was not a woman for 30 years. And I see it a lot when I mention David's name. That's kind of the reaction. People can't understand how a guy could live 30 years like that and now be a Christian. It's because we don't understand redemption. And so they said, well, I'm redeemed. Yeah, I'm redeemed. And I used to just be I was just a pig. That's all I was. And I got redeemed. But I wasn't as bad as David Arthur. Can't have him in his church. Can't have him in there. Love of that. David Heavener is going to come. He's going to talk about the last evangelist, the project he's working on. And then our good buddy down at the bottom just added him at the end. Tom Dunn. Tom Dunn's what do they call that? Guy makes movies? They have a word for him. Tom's a passionate guy, too. He's a local guy. So there's what it is. You say, and yes, we have to charge money. Yes, I think it's $89 because the expenses of hotels and food, you know what it's all going on. We'd love to see as many of you there as we possibly can. Okay? Occupy till I come. And no, I haven't forgotten. See, I'm trying to do one thing at a time here. I haven't forgotten our big event on June 15, 16 here in Columbus, Ohio, the national event we're going to pull off. Still working on that one. So got that out of the way. Anybody got anything to add on that, Sarge? Anybody that forget anything I needed to say there? I don't think I did.
Okay, cool. Not about the Occupy event, but don't forget the pro-Second Amendment rallies at every state capitol on the 14th.
I guess I didn't know about those, Larry. You might have said something about that. Maybe we need to. Is there a website for that, Larry?
Yeah, there's a Facebook page, the NCCPA.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
NCCPA Facebook page.
Okay.
And then they'll have a click for all 50 states.
Okay. Cool. Maybe you can somehow, Larry, get a link to that. We can get that thing up and talk about it a little more. My wife asked me a question. Did you say? Yes, I did. I don't know what that's all about. Okay. So cool. Just want to. Oh, there, Jared's getting up there for us. National rally to support the Second Amendment. You know, those other guys are really, really, the other side is really, really hell-bent on getting rid of guns. And You can't even reason with them. And, you know, as I said the other day, the March Washington, D.C., the one they just had, we found out was only 10% were teenagers. So 90% of them were the same old retreads that hate Trump anyway, not never Trumpers, but the snowflakes. So only 10% of this rally that was designed to protect children, only 10% of it was kids. That was all fake. And, boy, for some reason they want the guns, don't they? I'm not going to dive into that and talk about the reasons why, but there's some serious stuff going on. And then I ran into this one. We had the most unbelievable, hate to tell you. Unbelievable chemtrails yesterday. My goodness. What are they doing? What the heck are they spraying on us? And I still run into people say, well, those are just chemtrails. Okay, well, I don't even argue about it anymore. What are they spraying on us? My goodness. Unbelievable. Hey, Jared, I'm going to pull up Friday's show. I want to show you guys something. This is what happens to me. I sent you the link there, Jared, on Friday's show. You guys remember I did one? I don't know if I've ever said anything that appears to be more controversial than what I said on Friday's show. I just got to show you, get a good kick out of this. Roger, I want you to tell about your, get a chance, go talk about your Sunday school experience yesterday. Get a chance. We're talking about pornography. We're talking about a lot of it. And I said, listen, masturbation is simply homosexuality. I mean, I just kind of was an off. I got that. I actually got that from David Arthur. I think I stole it from him. And I got thinking about it. Whether you're a man or a woman, doesn't matter. Whether you're a man or a woman and you engage in masturbation, you're the only one there. I mean, you may have people in your head, okay? But when a man is masturbating, a man is doing it to him. You with me? And I'm telling you, man, that sent them crazy. Right wing watcher, whoever it is watch me. And I want Jared, scroll down from some of these things. First of all, I want you to look how many views we've had. Jared, go back. You skipped it, everybody. Almost 8,000 views. 7,700 views yesterday on that one. And I just want you to understand what I put up with, okay? Let's scroll down through some of these things and read what these people say. There's going to be some vulgarity here. Thank you for being part of the reason religious affiliation in the U.S. is on a steep decline. Guys like Dave are doing more to advance atheism than I could ever dream of doing. Your lack of intelligence is simply astounding. Time out a minute. When a man masturbates, does a man have a hold of his penis or not? That's just clear to me. It's just clear to me. I don't care who's in your head. Hey, Coach Dave, you're absolutely a repressed. I hear that one all the time. You're a repressed homosexual. Each of your videos proves it. See, they would like nothing more than for me to come out as a homo. They would be so proud. But yet, even they say this, see, they're not proud they're homos. They think if I come out as a homo, it would be like the worst thing that I could ever do. This goes on and on and on. Does this man have any kind of sexual release that does not consist of unreported spousal rape? Where do they come up with this stuff? My gaydar is about to explode. Dude, accept it. You are gay and you can't change. Chuck Berry, my ding-a-ling. Need to be said again. Buy a fleshlight, dude. If you can't stand touching yourself, you obviously need some help, some relief. You're so gay. Seriously, you should try to get your own house in order first. Listening to like this, blinding the blind. Jesus, shame of you. Sir Davey is fixated on gay sex. Are you trying to tell us something, Dave? If you don't know the difference between a good poop and an orgasm, you never... is this unbelievable? This goes on and on and on and on. So thank God that the Lord used it. 7,000 people came and watched it. Maybe they got a little bit of the gospel in there. Thought I'd just throw that out there. So you guys can go there and you read all those things you want to. I masturbated on your wife's face. How would you categorize that? See, these folks are so wicked. Go ahead and get that thing off there, Jared. I just want everybody to be able to see that one. And then I'm going to pause a minute. I feel somebody trying to get in here. Nope. Yep. Nope. Nope. Okay, Jared, go down to the next one. I already did. Never mind. Here's what. Three things I want to show you real quick. Jared, let's go to the fake news. I don't know if you guys saw this. Paul Joseph Watson, is that his name? This is one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen. You want to talk about the controlled media. This is a minute. I think it's a minute and 52 seconds. Now, I don't know who put this thing together. This is unbelievable. Talking about fake news, okay? Jared, clip on going down there. At some point, I tried to find the YouTube video. Of course, I couldn't. Go back up then, Jared. I think you just clicked right on the Paul Joseph Watson thing. Folks, this is amazing. Right there. See? Right there is where it should be. Crazy, man. Yeah, no, I played it off of this morning, though. Man, here we go. Here we go. Listen to this, folks. Minute 52.
Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities. Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But
we are concerned about troubling trend of irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Can't make that stuff up, can you? Unbelievable. Now, I remember from some of my experience that I did 20 years ago, maybe even with local media production like this. You walk into the newsroom and pick whatever newsroom that you have in your city, and it's just going to be young girls, young intern type people sitting in front of a computer, just copying. The newsreaders just read, right? Somebody writes it. There's a lot of copy and paste going on, so that when they read it, they just. That's why you see so many people saying the exact same thing. So there you go, man. They're not trying to program us or anything. Second thing I want to show you. This one is a Jared. Go to the next one. Says Brummett. My buddy Aaron Brummett in Springfield, Missouri. Just hang out here a second, Jared. Aaron's a street preacher, man. He is a street preacher. Good guy. Good dude. He's a former Army veteran. He got arrested. He goes every Saturday. He takes a group of guys, goes every Saturday night in downtown Springfield, Missouri. Street preachers down in the park, and they hate him. They've arrested him a couple different times, and they arrested him again. You think it's not, folks, you think this stuff isn't real, man. Aaron is a great dude. Very, very small church, faithful God, man of God. I want you to watch what they did to Aaron on, I think it was Saturday night. Might have been Friday. Go ahead, Jared. I know Aaron. Know him well. They got him for disturbing the peace as he preached the gospel. Disturbing the peace.
The Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, nor for prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, And here tonight we've got a corrupt officer that's trying to stop the freedom of speech in America. The Constitution was given to us. Over 1 million soldiers died. Don't you touch my Bible. Don't you touch my Bible. Over 1 million soldiers bled and died for this Constitution and the Bill of Rights that I have in my hands. And corrupt police officers want to take away those rights. And can I tell you here today, when I stand here on the blood of 1 million soldiers, Marines, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard, who bled to give us the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. And you're going to have to pull that Bible and that Constitution from my cold, dead hands. Yo, get your hands off me. You're unlawful. You are corrupt. You are corrupt. You are corrupt. You have no right to do what you're doing. Stop twisting my arm. Stop twisting my arm. Stop twisting my arm. Washington said if the freedom of speech is taken away, then we will be led like sheep to the slaughter. And we've come to a place in America where corrupt police officers will try to take away the freedom of speech, and they are cowards to hide behind a badge. They're cowards to hide behind a gun, and they are bullies of the New World Order. Shame on them. They are disgraced to this nation. They are disgraced to every soldier that has bled and died. They are disgraced to this country we call America. And you need to wake up. You need to wake up because this is what America has come to. This is what this nation has come to. And I'm here to tell you today that we are not going to back down and let bullies and bigots try to take away our rights. I'll stand for them if it costs me my life. I'll stand for them if it costs me everything that I have.
Okay, Jared, you can stop that. That's a real arrest, and he's a real dude, and he's a fearless man, and he's going to make himself a pile of money. That's what I think is going to happen. Any reaction to that, guys? That kind of stuff goes on everywhere. Everywhere. The only speech they want to silence is the gospel of Jesus. I've lived it. I've seen it. It's the only speech they want to silence. The gospel of Jesus. Somebody jump in here.
Amen, Coach. And every single time, like, I'm trying to think of a few of the people, like, up in Wisconsin, I think it was, that we were arrested. They ended up suing them, won every single one of them lawsuits, and won the money, too. But,
amen.
Brother, always say this to my street preaching friends. I say, always remember, it has nothing to do with the constitutional right. It has to do with the biblical mandate. Because even if our laws,
yes, sir,
hey, you can't do it, you have to do it because it is commanded of the Lord.
Hey, Dale, I thought there's freedom of religion, right? Huh? I thought Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And as we've read in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go ye into all the world. Go and do what Aaron Brummett was doing. That is the biblical mandate, which is above the Constitution, is the point that Dale's making. Folks, this kind of stuff's going on everywhere. We now have free speech zones. Free speech, you're allowed to speak here, but you're not allowed to speak there. Nah, come on. So pray for Aaron. I saw him last night actually doing his church service, his arms in a sling. I think the cops tore his rotator cuff when they were arresting him. And all he was doing, as you saw, he and three of his buddies standing out in the park preaching the gospel. He does it every weekend. In fact, I think somebody put up in there, I think it was Good Friday. I think he was doing it on Good Friday. Amazing, isn't it?
Coach, yeah. Gosh, I just drew a blank. It was important. I'll come back to it.
All right, brother. All right.
Be sure and have Jared post that video in the after show so that I can grab that and post it around here.
Okay. He's down in Springfield, Missouri. He's a faithful man of God. Aaron's a great guy. Doesn't have a big church. In fact, his church is made up of people that most people would reject. Wouldn't even have him in the church. And that's the kind of people he ministers to. He's a veteran. Served in the Gulf War. Comes home not allowed to preach the gospel. They have so harassed him in Springfield, Missouri. By the way, Springfield, Missouri is the home of the Assemblies of God. It is the buckle of the Bible Belt. Did you guys know that? It's amazing, isn't it? And of course, the guys in the big churches, they think, you know, they think Aaron's a nuisance. And, it is what it is. Yeah.
Hey, Coach, here it is.
Yeah.
These police officers, I bet you can line them up in 1 out of 100, maybe. But they haven't even read the Constitution, the very thing they swore to uphold and to keep above all else. They haven't even read it. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing.
They'd probably go to church on Sunday, too, Dale. They'd probably go to church on Sunday.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
But not mine.
Coach, Danny, you know, Danny the Zell something the other day. I'll send it to you. But it's a number of police departments around the nation that have the Masonic symbol in their logo. Question, and it's all part of a nefarious, bigger than we realize.
Well, George, you know, again, we start diving that, we start going down the rabbit holes. I'm not making fun of you. It's like I had a guy in my house yesterday, really, really smart guy, really, really alert guy. And I pointed up the chemtrails, and you know what he said? He looked up at the chemtrails and he said, Contrails. What do you say? I love him to death. I didn't even say another word. How can you not be aware of that? I don't know. So then I want to go to one more because this is, Roger, I want you to get ready to tell your story if you can here real quickly. If you want to, you don't have to. Jared, this is just a little bit of sense and humor this morning. Jared, pull up church hunting out of town. This will give you a good yokel because is this ever us? Now I can't remember this guy's name. I'm doggone it. He is so John Christ, I think is his name. This is cool. So here it is. It's just 2 minutes trying to find a church. These two are on vacation and they're trying to find a church to go to on Sunday. Go ahead, Jared.
All right. Sunday morning, we got to find a church to go to.
It should be easy. There are a bunch when we were driving.
Seems like there was one on every block. It can't be that hard, right?
They're everywhere. Babe, put your seatbelt on.
We're still in the parking lot.
Well, you know I worry.
Okay, here's one up here. Listen, Church of Jesus Christ. That's us.
Of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, no.
Can't do that.
Okay, here we go, right here.
Oh, I love the funny church signs. What's that say?
What is it? Choose the bread of life or your toast.
No. I'm gluten-free. I can't go there.
Okay.
Is that Echo Church?
The churches with the nightclub names, I don't love those.
Plus, we're a new creation, and we both came out of that lifestyle.
Yes.
Raise them, raise them. Okay, what about that one? United Pentecostal Church.
Okay, well, you're not getting in there. You're wearing pants, so for sure no.
Oh, I forgot my long denim skirt. You're right.
Plus, you're wearing too much makeup.
What?
No, for the denomination. They got a thing about women and makeup
and
stuff.
I don't think they do.
No, you look great. I'm just saying it's not just for there.
Yeah. Should stop talking. Oh, is that Iglesia de Cristo?
Really, with the accent? Let's not do this.
I've been using Rosetta Stone.
You don't speak Spanish. We're not going to a Spanish-speaking church.
I kind of speak Spanish.
You don't.
Well, I like traditional. I like neutrals.
Got it. Yep.
I don't want something too progressive.
Sure.
I don't like steeples, but I also don't like strip malls.
Okay, so like something in the middle.
Okay, potential church?
Yeah, maybe next year.
Okay.
You didn't get the joke.
Sounds funny.
All right, here we go. Barnabas Anglican Church. Anglican? Can we do that?
Oh, and it looks like they have a female pastor. Really?
No, I'm just saying I'd rather not.
Do you want to sleep on the couch tonight?
Babe, this is way harder than I thought, honestly.
I know. We're in a city. There's got to be an Andy Stanley satellite church somewhere.
I mean, right? If not, there's probably one coming soon.
I'm sure they've already got a building fund.
Wow.
Okay, Ebenezer Baptist Tabernacle.
Is that a black church?
What?
I'm just saying you wouldn't last in there. All the dancing and moving. Ebenezer Baptist Tabernacle. You can't even clap on rhythm at the white church, okay?
I watched the Potter's House, first of all. Second of all, I love T.D. Jakes and I follow his daughter on Instagram.
Okay.
Oh, what about Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses?
I don't know how it works there with visitors. Can we just walk in or do we have to knock first?
No, sir.
Come on, that's hilarious.
Cathedral of St. Peter?
I don't know. Is that Catholic?
I don't know. How can you tell?
I don't know. With the Catholic Church, you always need to look for the keywords. Saint, perpetual, sacred heart, anything Guadalupe related if we're not in Mexico, for me is an no-go.
What about like a mega church?
I don't want like a mega church. I'm out on any church that has like cops directing
traffic. Two hands on the wheel.
It has cops directing traffic. I'm out. It's going to take forever to get to lunch.
Okay, you're right.
All right, here we go. Look, New Hope Church of God. We can do that, right?
Church of God. Is that the one with no instruments?
I think, is that Church of Christ?
Oh, no, it's Church of Christ. I grew up Church of Christ. We couldn't even wear tank tops. No thanks.
Okay, good. Great voices, though. Great a cappella.
I'd still rather not. Oh, Jericho's House of Praise.
What, are we just going to drive around it 7 times? Maybe then we'll decide.
What?
It's a joke. Well, read your Bible.
Okay, what about this tabernacle?
Okay, as a general rule, tabernacles, cathedrals, temples, synagogues are all out.
At least a synagogue would have a yarmulke to put on that hair.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Is that Hillsong?
Thank you. Lead me to the cross.
Perfect.
This is perfect. Let's go. Oh, babe, we're on vacation. I didn't bring my skinny jeans. We can't go to Hillsong.
Yeah, but those have holes in them. They look fine.
What? No.
I definitely can't wear that Tommy Hilfiger shirt. What do you have on underneath
that?
That's
what I wear it to the office. Oh. I don't know, like a V-neck or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like
just wear the V-neck and put these on.
These glasses? They didn't have lenses
Trust
in them.
Me.
Why?
Yeah, you look like Carl Lentz.
What? Okay. You know what? Not going here.
Well, he's an attractive man.
We're going to brunch.
So there it is, man. There's more truth there than what. There's more truth there. Isn't there? There are more denominations.
What that is?
What's that?
You know what the takeaway from that is?
What's that, Larry?
The fact there is so much truth in those opinions or attitudes those folks had toward those different situations or titles or names or whatever. The quote, unified church of the body of Christ. It's so little unity and cohesiveness that all of those different things are valid points.
They are valid points. That, well, there has to be truth in order for it to be really, really funny. So I thought, man, I was relating to everything he said for sure. So that's why we're messing. I'm heading someplace this morning. I'm taking you along. It take me a while to get there. Bear with me here a second, okay? I want to get Roger in here real quick because Roger called me yesterday afternoon. And Roger, I don't know if you're able to share your story. Go ahead, brother, if you can.
Oh, you know, when I see that pastor being arrested, it seems like my little incident is not that important. But I guess in the scheme of all of us doing our part and learning from the huddle, maybe it fits in. But I go to a Baptist church, Southern Baptist, about 1,200 a week, down from about 1,800 7 or 8 years ago. They're still trying to figure out why the numbers are down. But I've been teaching what I call a young men's class for probably 10 years, and I get 9 to 12-year-olds in the morning. First, and I'm the last class at 9:45. Everything else has been removed, and so for some reason I'm hanging around as the only Sunday school class at 9:45 for anybody that's a boy. I call them young men. So I've been teaching this 10 years. That's why I've been using a fair amount of huddle materials over the last year, 2 years. And after the class, I'm actually talking to one of the young men who's 2 years removed from my class. He came in wanting a little guidance and felt comfortable talking to me. And I always first send them back to their parents. And he told me, well, I can't really talk to my dad about this. And I said, well, okay. So we started talking. And a lady wanders up to the area that I teach, and I teach where there's a lot of traffic, people going back and forth and buying their coffee and donut at our cafe. And I said, may I help you? And she said, well, you know, I'm, you know, Joe's mother, you know. And I said, okay. And I said, I'm thankful Joe's in my class. And she said, well, she says, I don't know if he'll be coming back. And I said, well, what's wrong? She said, And this is a woman who's been at my church for no less than about 10 years. They have raised their son in the church I go to. Grayson, the boy Joe, has told me this. So I said, well, ma'am, she said, well, we don't appreciate your politics. And we don't believe that politics in the church should be mixed. And then she said, we don't think politics in the church should be mixed on Sunday in the church. And then I tried my best to take her through the fact that, you know, I don't teach about Republicans or Democrats, but I do engage topics dealing with the culture that can be considered maybe, I guess, political. And I had the opportunity, although I think she was just kind of dumbfounded, I talked to her about, you know, John the Baptist engaging the king in his adulterous affair. He was a political leader. I talked about Jesus taking on the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Roman people. And I think that might be considered political. I even talked to her about Paul being a Roman citizen and taking his plea to Rome because he was a citizen. And the fact that he wrote 2/3 of the Bible, and he probably thought it was okay to talk a little bit about politics. And she just was at wit's end, and she said, well, I'd like for you to stop doing that. I thought, I was dumbfounded, Dave. I thought, me? And I finally, you know, she says, well, you know, Joe, our son, he may not come back. I said, well, I'm saddened by that. I said, I think he could benefit being around other young men and topics that we cover. But I said, you know, that maybe this isn't his class. But, and she wasn't, I think what intrigued me the most, Dave, in this little incident, she didn't look, you know, dykish or lesbian or, but I could sense when I told her she was wrong about politics in the church, and this is why we're in such trouble in our culture, she did not like being told she was wrong. Encouraged her to read her Bible on these topics. It inflamed her. And then when I invited her to the class anytime she wanted, to hear and listen to how we deal with the class and topics and scripture. She said, no, I don't think I'll be doing that. But in my little small world, that's what took place. And the idea that she could not grasp that the church should be engaged in the political culture and in the culture in general, and that the Bible addressed all of those. And
so you're on your way to the principal's office then, Roger. That's it. You're going to be in the principal's office soon for doing that. But, Roger, the big point was you were equipped for the argument, weren't you?
I'm going to tell you something. I was, and I may not have handled the topic perfectly, but from the huddle, from my time with you men, from the time with these topics, I was ready on basic responses to her, and she just looked dumbfounded at me.
Mm-hmm.
Could not grasp what I was saying. And the vast majority of what I was able to share, and quite frankly, the vast majority of what I share in the class, is from this morning gathering and fellowship.
Hey, Roger. I wonder if you'd just said, I'd love to continue this, but where's your husband? I wonder what she would have done.
Well, I did mention, I said, well, you or your husband are welcome to sit in the class any time, but I didn't press it more than that. But it saddened me. The young man that's in the class, I think, is 17. And once again, his mommy comes to attempt to rescue him. And I see it. In my law practice, I see it in my conference room all the time.
It's
mommy
obvious.
Mommy shows up to rescue.
It's obvious. Amen. She wears the
pathetic.
Pants.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
My advice is, remember, America is a kindergarten run by women and children. So think about what you would say in kindergarten and just say that. Say, oh, yeah, well, you're a poopy face. Whatever. Because, see, right? It doesn't. You don't argue with them.
Yeah. Amen. Well, anyway, Roger, good story. I do have someplace serious I'm trying to go here today. And go ahead, Roger.
Jared, you got my wife laughing in the kitchen.
At least you got her in the kitchen, Roger. She's barefoot and pregnant, I hope, where she belongs. But listen, guys, this has bothered me all weekend. And now that I have grandchildren, I see the world entirely different. And my grandkids, oh, they're so much fun. My goodness. I don't know what you guys think. It's times like this. I missed it with my own kids. I was so busy being, you know, living and making a living, I missed these precious moments with my our own children, and now I'm getting to have it with my grandkids. It's, wow, what a thing. But I got thinking really, really hard, really hard on this Easter thing. And here's what I got. Here's what I'm struggling with. And I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I really don't know. Is Easter pagan or not? And if Easter is pagan, why are we celebrating? And see, I don't think it's some small issue. I don't think it's some small issue. And I watched my own grandchildren come home and how excited they were running around gathering eggs and getting chocolate. And yeah, they knew what Easter Sunday was. Reese knew what Easter Sunday was. But the average person has no idea what Easter Sunday really what it is. And I've been thinking about all these productions that they put on churches at Easter Sunday to draw people in. And I understand it's to, you know, try to get people back in church. I understand all that. But is Easter pagan or not? I came across something blew my mind. Jared, pull up Acts 12. And then I got a couple video stuff I want to show you here. It just blew my mind. Listen, I got Jared doing two jobs here. We know what Easter is, right? According to what it's supposed to be. It's a celebration of the crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I was reading my Bible and just casually reading it. Are you guys sitting down? Are y'all sitting down? Here we go, Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Oh, by the way, I always thought it was interesting. He just is vexing certain of them. He's not after everybody, is he? Now, certain ones in the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. You sitting down? You sitting down? And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. After Easter? This is the first century Christianity. After Easter? I got scratching my head, said, whoa, here. After Easter? Jared, pull up. It says church traditions. Hey, guys, listen, I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But is it simply a tradition of men that we have brought into the church? Remember the book I got right here beside me? Pagan Christianity? Does the Lord want us celebrating? Does he want us celebrating Easter? Jared, it says church traditions. Do you have it there, bud? You can pull that up there. Okay. Because this, I found this on Facebook. I don't even know who I got it. Of course, I can't get on Facebook anymore. And I read this and it got my head scratching more. When Rome took control of the Christian world, they proceeded to remove everything Hebraic from the faith, changing times, even calendars, then changing pagan ceremonies with all their pagan trappings into so-called Christian holidays, Christmas and Easter, then changing the calendar from New Year, Nisan 1, to March, April, to January 1, and claiming the calendar after Pope Gregory, which is the Gregorian calendar. And this is the true meaning of April Fools, coined from those who continued on the traditional calendar. They were called April Fools. So we wonder why so many don't believe us about Easter and Christmas, and now, as we knew then, they now seem so empty. There's a law called reaping what we sow, and it's plainly obvious God has had enough. We must choose his truth or the world's. I cannot believe that I get so much indifference or even pushback on this plainly obvious fact in Christians. Christians say, does this really matter? Duh. Let's look what is happening. Look what is happening. So, what is Easter? What is Easter? Anybody picking up what I'm laying down yet? Anybody? Listen, guys, I just want the truth. I just want to do the truth. I just want the truth. I love the resurrection of Jesus, but has Easter become just a pagan holiday like Christmas? Does it please the Lord to have Easter Sunday? I got a video that's pretty daggone good here. Let me see if I can find it. It's not that one. Jared hit the wrong button. Jared pulled up. It says, no. Pardon me, folks. I should be more prepared than this. Down here. No. Where did I do it? Jared. Me. There it is. Stuff. Jared, pull up the one that says 5 minutes on Easter. It says Easter. This is a YouTube, folks. I want us to think about this. Go ahead, Jared.
This time of year, millions of people around the world celebrate Easter. Mostly, this celebration consists of collecting hidden Easter eggs and visiting the Easter Bunny. Some religious people even go to services and are told that Jesus was raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. What most do not know, and some ignore, is that Easter is a pagan celebration that is filled with evil symbols, satanic customs, and wicked traditions. This day has nothing to do with Jesus in any way or fashion. In this video, we will look at the history of this day, the customs, and the symbols, and ask if Easter is even in the Bible. You don't have to go far to find out the true meaning of Easter. In fact, if you look up Easter in a Webster's dictionary, the first line will say, Easter is the name of an old Teutonic goddess of spring. Today, Easter is celebrated on the first Sunday on or after the first full moon that follows the vernal equinox. Around the world, various pagan rituals were exercised in celebration of the return of the sun. In Germany, for example, they worshipped Ostara, the Germanic fertility goddess, on this day. The English word for Easter was derived from her name. Let's look at some of the symbols that are associated with Easter today. The Easter Bunny is not a modern invention. The symbol originated with the pagan festival of Hysteria. The goddess Hysteria was worshipped by the Anglo-Saxons through her earthly symbol, the rabbit. And what about Easter eggs? The Druids used the egg as the sacred emblem of their order. In China, dyed or painted eggs are used on sacred heathen festivals. In the idolatry of ancient Egypt and Greece, eggs were used in their religious rites. And the list goes on and on. There is no doubt that this celebration has pagan roots and has nothing to do with Jesus. But can we find Easter in the Bible? Turn in your King James Bible to Acts 12:1-4. Verse 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to the 4 quartinions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. There in verse 4, the most evil Herod waited until his pagan celebration of Easter to deliver Peter to the people. Now if Herod is celebrating Easter, do you think you should be? Some say that the word Easter in this verse is mistranslated, and that it should say Passover. This is not true, and I can prove it with Scripture. If you look in verse 3, the Bible tells us that during this time it was the days of unleavened bread. Let's read Numbers 28:16-17. And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. According to Scripture, if it is the days of unleavened bread, then the Passover has already taken place. If this verse was mistranslated, then Herod would be keeping Peter for an entire year. The King James is the only Bible that gets this right. Go ahead and look it up for yourself. Here's a quote from Alexander Hislop from his book, The Two Babylons. The term Easter is of pagan origin. It bears its Chaldean origin on its very forehead. Easter is nothing else than Astarte, one of the titles of Beltis, the Queen of Heaven. This is the celebration that Herod was keeping. Why would he care anything about the Jewish Passover? Now you have a choice with the facts before you. Will you ignore the truth and continue in a pagan tradition, or will you trust God's word and follow him? For more information on the resurrection.
Okay, Jared, there you go. So listen, I can never get this in my own mind. But first of all, I'm not religious, okay? I like to have fun. I enjoy Christmas. Christmas is really the same thing, you know? It's really the same thing. So I'm thinking, if in fact this is a pagan holiday and it has become so central to Christianity, is it something that we ought to be ignoring? I can never figure out why Christmas was always December 25th, always. 4th of July was always the 4th of July. But Easter, I would go to my wife, I'd say, honey, when's Easter this year? Why couldn't she just say, well, dummy, it's April 4th. It's always April 4th. Why couldn't she say that? Because Easter is always what? 40 days after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. Think about that a minute. That date changes. Am I the only one this bothers? And is it straining at a gnat? Christians, I'm talking about. Is it straining at a gnat? No, the most, I'm going to tell you this. Most of us go to Resurrection Sunday service, who do go to Resurrection Sunday service. A lot of people lost go to church on Easter. And I'm going to tell you this. They have no idea about the resurrection, the power of it, why Jesus died, the whole story. None of that. Somebody jump in.
Coach, I think a lot of people, you know, they've just gotten into the tradition of Easter and they don't really even think about the roots of that. There's a great, about a week ago, Sheila Zielinski had a pastor, and I forget his name, from California, but he did two things. He did the timeline of Christ's death. And stating that, you know, Christ was arrested on a Wednesday. He died on a Wednesday, not a Friday. And he talked about 3 days and three nights in the grave. But then he also talked about the pagan roots and where the Easter bunny and the eggs, you know, has to do with fertility gods and that type of thing. It was excellent. It was excellent. But we, you know, in our culture, okay, every, you know, once again, script, you know, the Bible's been twisted for commercial use. This guy even talked about how the Jews in the temple, you know, when Christ turned over the tables in the temple, see, the Jews in the temple, you had to exchange your money into temple money to buy the so-called clean doves that you were going to use as a sacrifice. And, of course, the Jews made a profit on that as well. Not the Jews, but the the Pharisees.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
The high priests. All right, so you know, we've been so commercial. So now Easter's it's just about commercial, making a profit, selling candy.
There are Easter egg hunts at churches.
I know. Bouncy bounces and Easter egg hunts.
See, now I don't want to be bah humbug. I enjoy hiding eggs. We hid eggs yesterday to my grandkids. They ran around and found the eggs. But I'm not teaching my kids. Eggs have anything to do with Easter. They're not Easter eggs, for heaven's sakes. Or are they Easter eggs? And does that have anything to do with... See, they have to do everything they can to make Christ not who he really is. To take Christ. The churches are taking Christ and focusing him on Easter egg hunts, bunny rabbits, chocolate, candy. Am I bah humbug? Or is this serious to the Lord? Is our celebration of Easter, is that a punch poke in the eye to Christ? I'm just asking. I don't do that. Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I was talking to Mary Jane last night. When she was a kid, the Nazarene Church didn't even want them to dance or anything like that. This weekend, the Nazarene Church here in Mount Vernon colored 2,500 Easter eggs for the little kids.
Yeah, they are. There it is. And it's all, help me if I'm wrong here, it's all done to attract people into the church. They say, well, Coach, we're not really celebrating you. We're just trying to get people in here so they can hear the gospel. Okay, I guess. Might as well use porn. Let's show some porn. Maybe we'll get more men into the church. Is that any different? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I don't want to pick on any denomination, but a church that was mentioned just a short while ago bribed kids to go on the bus. They hand them a bag of candy every week when the bus comes by to pick them up. Oh, and don't forget the haunted house they put in the church basement on Halloween.
Well, listen, hey, folks, you understand Jesus warned us teaching commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. And can you imagine the upheaval in American Christianity if somebody rose up and said, like the Pope said, right? No hell. What if people rose up? What if our pastors rose up and began to teach the people in the church? Hey, listen, sorry, we've been wrong. Easter has pagan roots and pagan celebrations, and we're not going to do it anymore. Do you think there's any pastor in America that would have the courage to do that? And should he? Or does Lord doesn't care? Oh, pornography, whatever. Let's just get them in here. Whatever we can, let's get them all in here so they can hear the gospel. I don't know. Is that okay? I feel like I'm hanging out there all by myself this morning. And I'm just asking the question. Because I want to train my grandchildren in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And going around and picking up bunny eggs just doesn't seem like it to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Roger.
Oh, I don't want to leave you hanging out there. Obviously, big problems with the word Easter, the history, everything. Are you going to change that in any church? Most likely not. So as a parent and a grandparent, you know, I certainly wouldn't promote it too much. But if my family participated, I would do my best to swiftly move to the topic of Resurrection Sunday, what it meant. Maybe that's a weak position. But, you know, it's like, you know, your grandkids, they kind of enjoyed it. I drove by a church Saturday that was at a school having a big Easter egg thing. I heard yesterday a church that had an Easter bunny in the church. Now, I draw the line with that. But, you know, are you going to change it? I just don't know. Maybe that's a weak position. But I certainly would readjust it and with my own family and my own kids talk about the cross and resurrection.
Amen. Yeah.
Hey, brother.
Yeah, Dale.
I shared yesterday morning. I said, I have no problem with rabbits and eggs. I love them in stew and I love them scrambled. And I said, let's get on to the resurrection.
Amen. Amen. So you understand the points that I'm making, Dale. Everybody's watching right now. Your church did the most unbelievable Easter celebration, and it probably involved eggs and probably chocolates and candy and everything else to get people in. And my question is, isn't Christ alone enough? Shouldn't that be enough to draw people into church? Do we need eggs? Do we need Easter
hey,
baskets?
Hey, Coach. Hey, Coach. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coach, it's so ingrained in our culture. I mean, you're talking hundreds of years of tradition. What I've done since I've learned about it, I don't wish people a happy Easter anymore like I used to. I'd say, hey, happy Resurrection Sunday. I'm doing what I can control because to change that spiky in mindset of people, even in family, it could cause World War III. And sometimes I think we have to pick our battles. But me personally, I'm not acknowledging Easter, the pagan part of it. I just magnify Resurrection Sunday at this point.
Folks, that's good, George. Folks, listen, here's what I'd say. Man, I'm out of time already. Here's what I would say. Grandpas, dads, it is imperative that your children and your grandchildren understand what Easter is about. Point out to them, yeah, you know, people do eggs, and yeah, they do chocolates, and yeah, we hunt eggs and color eggs, but that is not anything at all to do with Easter. That is the tradition of men. That has nothing to do with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I think we have an obligation, guys, right where we live, to make sure that our children and our grandchildren don't fall down this slippery slope of what Easter has become, as somebody put up in there. Strippers and dancing poles. Is that okay to draw people in to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Here's the sad thing, man. Just because you believe it doesn't make it true. And just because you don't believe it doesn't make it not true. Man, oh man, we have so much to unlearn. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.